This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, no. It's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/minute.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, October 6th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. For the people who've been protesting in Iran over the past 2 weeks, access to the internet and social media is crucial for being able to communicate with each other and the rest of the world. But the Iranian government has been restricting internet access during the protests. In response, the Biden administration has moved to allow expanded internet service from outside Iran to help sustain the protesters, and companies like SpaceX have promised to supply internet connections. But how much are these steps actually accomplishing? And what risks are Iranians taking by relying on this outside help? On today's show, our Middle East correspondent David Cloud joins us to discuss. That's after these headlines. Uber's former head of security has been found guilty of criminal obstruction by a jury in California. Joseph Sullivan was convicted on the charges for failing to report a 2016 cyber attack to federal authorities. The case is a rare instance of a senior cybersecurity executive facing charges for a decision not to disclose a breach and a payout to the hackers, a gray area for many in the cyber world. Sullivan is facing a 5-year prison sentence for obstruction and up to another 3 years on a second charge of failing to report a felony. As we told you yesterday, Elon Musk is seeking to return to his original $44 billion offer to buy Twitter. Talks between the billionaire and the social media company continued on Wednesday. An agreement would avert a trial set for later this month. But the judge overseeing the case said yesterday that neither side has moved for a stay, so it's still scheduled to begin the 17th. If the deal does go through, Musk would be taking over a company that's weaker than when he first tried to back out of buying it in July. Our Twitter reporter Alexa Kors explains.
First, there are broader concerns across the economy, and a lot of social media companies have been feeling the effects of that. And then for Twitter, there's been this uncertainty around the Musk deal. Twitter's revenue dipped in the second quarter below what analysts were expecting, although they did grow their monetizable daily users. But Twitter has just been dealing with uncertainty for months.
Staying with Elon Musk, his space company SpaceX launched another crew toward the International Space Station on behalf of NASA on Wednesday. The team includes the first Native American astronaut, Nicole Mann, and a Russian cosmonaut, Anna Kikina, who's part of a crew swap between NASA and the Russian space agency Roscosmos. A U.S. astronaut recently arrived at the ISS on board a Russian spacecraft, according to NASA. The exchange comes at a time of heightened tension between national space agencies. Roscosmos has threatened to pull out of the space station in 2024 when it undergoes a change of leadership. NASA officials who want to keep the station operating through 2030 have said they've never received official notification that Russia would exit the facility. An update on the securities fraud trial of Nikola founder Trevor Milton. Prosecutors spent 3 weeks laying out their case that Milton lied about nearly every aspect of the company, including the status of its hydrogen-powered truck technology, and aimed those lies at retail investors by posting them on social media. Our reporter Ben Foldy has been following the trial and has more on the prosecutor's strategy.
The really interesting part of the trial so far has been that they've brought out, you know, high-ranking Nikola executives, CEO, CFO, and they've kind of painted a picture of Trevor Milton as somebody who kind of couldn't be controlled behind the scenes of the company and kept kind of talking himself into trouble in ways that the company executives wished that he wouldn't have, according to their testimony.
Milton's defense team began making its case earlier this week, but the proceedings were postponed after a defense attorney tested positive for COVID-19. His team is trying to establish that his comments about the state of Nikola's hydrogen tech was bravado and didn't materially change the value of the company's stock. And how would you feel about having your next prescription filled by a robot. Amid a shortage of pharmacists and pharmacist technicians in the U.S., Walgreens has started automating the drug filling process. That's the action of actually putting pills into bottles. The nation's second largest pharmacy chain is setting up a network of automated, centralized drug filling centers. The company says they cut pharmacists' workload by at least 25% and will save more than $1 billion a year. Our reporter Sharon Turlip says customers have mixed feelings about the change.
So there are some patients who are like, yeah, one of my stores does that. It's not chaotic. I don't have to stand in line. One thing that I've heard from a lot of patients, though, is, you know, of course, if you're filling the prescription off-site, it's not always going to be ready right away. It might be ready the next day. So I've heard some customers say, yeah, now that my store is doing that, I can't get my prescription right away, and it's annoying.
All right, coming up, Iranian protesters are struggling to get around the country's internet restrictions, even as the U.S. government and SpaceX promise to help. We'll discuss why after the break.
This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business know. It's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
The death of a 22-year-old Iranian woman, Mahsa Amini, while in police custody last month, has sparked protests throughout Iran. Crowds have clashed with security forces, and women have burned their headscarves in a rejection of the country's strict laws on women's attire. After Iran restricted internet access to try and curb the protests, the Biden administration and Elon Musk both stepped forward to say they'd help protesters stay connected. But that promise has been hard to execute on, and it's left demonstrators struggling to keep their messages private from the government while getting the word out to other protesters and the rest of the world. Joining us to explain the situation is our Middle East correspondent, David Cloud. Hi, David. Thanks for joining me.
Good to be here.
David, can you start by giving us a rundown of what internet access looks like in Iran right now?
In the last 2 weeks, the Iranian government has imposed pretty tight restrictions on use of the internet, particularly at night. They shut down the system and put blocks on the system and prevent people from using email, all sorts of techniques to prevent people from communicating, particularly within the country. They don't want protesters communicating, but they also don't want them beaming video outside the country that people like journalists and activists and others use. In recent days, we've also seen activists and computer engineers arrested. So it's a pretty wide-scale crackdown on internet use and internet expertise.
Now, protesters are still trying to get access to the internet to communicate with each other, to communicate with the outside world. Talk to us a little bit about how they're trying to do that.
They are. And I should say, you know, the internet is not fully shut down. I mean, even Iran, a very closed country, can't afford to do that, frankly. They still need it for all sorts of reasons, many of the same reasons we need it here, you know, in the West. Economic transactions, communication, the regime uses it for communication. So they can't completely shut it down. But people are worried about their safety in communicating and in sending videos. So, you know, thousands of people are trying to set up VPNs and have set up VPNs, virtual private networks. They're using encrypted email.
All right. So the U.S. government did lift some export controls to help Iranians get unrestricted access to the internet. And then Elon Musk tweeted that Starlink from his company SpaceX had been activated in the country. Has that made a difference so far?
I mean, Starlink, if it works, it offers a way to get sort of independent access to the internet through an orbiting satellite. However, it's a logistical nightmare to make it work. You got to get the terminals into Iran, which, you know, hasn't happened on a very large scale. You have to get the terminals linked to the satellite. It all has to work. And there's also the possibility that the regime will jam it. I mean, there's no doubt that they have the capability of finding these signals and jamming them.
You spoke with some Iranians trying to set up a Starlink connection. Can you tell us about their experience?
One of them is a computer engineer. The other one, his identity is unknown to me. So this account comes from the computer engineer. They obtained two Starlink terminals from Dubai, which is right across the Persian Gulf from Iran, and had been trying, even before the protests broke out, to connect to the satellites and had not been able to do so. When the protests broke out and they heard Elon Musk's assertion that Starlink was now activated in Iran, they got quite excited and optimistic and went onto the roof of a house in an Iranian city and again attempted to connect the Starlink terminal to the satellite. What I was told was they got a signal very briefly for a few seconds from the satellite, then it disappeared, so they haven't been able to get access to the internet using Starlink.
Has SpaceX commented on that?
Starlink has not commented, nor has SpaceX. We sent them detailed questions about what we heard from this Iranian computer engineer and about his experience, and they didn't respond to comment.
I want to take a second to focus on SpaceX. We saw them provide internet access in Ukraine during the war. How important are these crises to SpaceX's efforts to get Starlink, you know, more widely used?
I don't think it's central to their business model at all. They say, have said they have around 400,000 users worldwide. I would expect these are travelers. These are people who go to rural areas and need access to the internet. I don't think the system is designed for conflict zones, particularly not conflict zones like Iran, which have repressive governments and which, you know, tightly control access to the internet. It was used in Ukraine after Russia invaded, but Ukraine's government wanted Starlink. They wanted to be able to sustain internet access for people.
So what comes next then for the protesters who are trying to get internet access to spread their message outside of Iran?
What comes next? I mean, I think they just have to keep trying and keep working at it. It's not going to be easy. In some ways, internet access is not the critical thing. I mean, yes, it's nice to know what's going on there, and it's important to know what's going on there, obviously. It helps the protests gain international support. It helps sustain their momentum, I suppose. But no, I think they're going to have to use the techniques that they have been using and try to find more ways to do it. I mean, VPN networks, using access to the internet when it's available and sending out videos, etc. I mean, there aren't great options unless something like Starlink, you know, becomes widely available.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. David Cloud, WSJ Middle East correspondent, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Join The Wall Street Journal for the WSJ Pro-Sustainable Business Forum happening online October 13th. Take away practical advice on how to build a sustainability strategy that's right for your business. You'll hear from experts who will help you navigate the SEC's proposed regulations, complications of renewable energy, and risks along the supply chain. Together, we'll dig into these topics, providing you with ideas and insight you can use on day one. Register now at wsj.com/sustainablebusiness and save 20% on your online pass using code PODCAST.